All right, you guys ready? Okay, good evening. I'd like to call this Dahl Memorial Clinic Board of Directors meeting to order at 7:01. Kathy, could we get a roll call, please?
Nanini. Present. Malden.
Present.
Mandeville.
Here.
Simmons.
Present by Zoom.
And Auer.
Present by Zoom.
5 members present. Quorum is established.
Thank you, Kathy. Moving on to approving the agenda. I make a motion we approve the agenda.
Second.
Go ahead and use your mic there, Allison.
Please. Second.
Thank you. I have a motion by Malden, second by Nanini, to approve the agenda. Is there any discussion? All right. Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. Little housekeeping. Just like I did there, I would like to continue using that same process for motions. If there's, I will ask if there are any objections once it comes time to a vote on a motion. And if there are no objections, then I will state the motion passes. If there are objections, then I will have a roll call vote on the matter. And at any time, if a member would like a roll call vote, please say so and we can make that happen. Are there any objections to that process?
Okay. No, but would we be able to backtrack really fast and just for the record state which members are not present?
My apologies. We
have you're fine.
Potter and Hilton are absent.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, and no objections on that process?
Not for me.
No. Okay, very good. Hearing none, we'll move on. Approval of the minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Malden, second by Nanini, to approve the minutes for November 21st, 2022. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, any opposed? All right, hearing no objections, motion passes. All right, moving on to announcements, reports. Jeremy, could you give the president's report, please?
I have nothing to report at this time unless there are any questions for me.
Thank you, Jeremy. All right, moving on to committee reports. Finance, Leah, could you report on that?
We had a short meeting after the last work session on December 12th. There's nothing new to report. We are slowly but surely getting caught up at City Hall. We are now into October, so it's still a long process, but we're getting there. Our next meeting will be January 9th at 6 p.m.
All right. Thank you, Leah. Okay, moving on to planning committee. And since Katie was not present at the planning committee meeting and then I came in late, Jeremy, would you please give the planning committee report?
So the planning committee met last Tuesday and reviewed the legislative mandate, peer review, quality improvement, and board teleconferencing policies. All have been forwarded to the board with amendments, and we can speak about them in greater detail under new business.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Executive Director's report, Thomas, please.
Thank you, ma'am. My report is attached. I would like to highlight some of the things that have happened in there, particularly with Jen Larson and the Leaf Illusion Foundation. She was very receptive to the idea of being a participant and knowing how those funds are expended, and I do hope that we will take her up on that offer. I did explain to her that it's been my experience that no one can disperse those funds without board approval, and the board would most likely reach out to her on dispersing those funds. She was very complimentary of the community and of her commitment to continue doing this. She was bragging on Brian Cahill, the marketing director at Shore Medical. I've reached out to Mr. Cahill and left him a voice message on his machine just to say, you know, great job that you're doing in New Jersey. We'd love to mirror that. Are there any ideas that you can share with us? And I think that we could have a coordinated effort and really do a great job in memory of Leaf. The other thing that I would bring to your bring to this board is October outreach and benefits, along with November. We've had 5 Medicaid in-house counseling assistants for Medicare. We had an open house for anyone to come in during open session, and one individual from the community had took us up on that offer. Just to give you an idea of where your clinic is right now, we're pretty good. Actually, we're very good on the RN positions for this year. Very excited about that. 2023, your administrative side, probably give it till about September to settle down where people are to perform their duties. And if I was guessing, I'd say we're hitting maybe at 60%, maybe a little bit less. But by September, I think those numbers will increase. For your providers, we have 1.5 providers for 2023. Look to increase that to 3. Your MAs are solid. It's a great team. It's a very young team. Again, look to about September, October, and you will have some great seasoned MAs. I want to brag on your dispensary tech. Brooke has done a phenomenal job. Again, a very young person in that role. She is more mature than her age would allow, and just the right person for that position. Again, give her some time, and I think you have a bright star there. Brag on Lisa and Emily Deitch, if I may. They coerced a potential behavioral health candidate to apply for the position here. Look for that person with a potential start date in mid-March. And we were thrilled to be able to have her on board. She and her family will be moving here. Husband and wife with a husband has a 15-year-old daughter. Just an exciting opportunity for them and for this community. On deck, SD has received, I think, about a $57,000 grant, COVID grant, that is coming through. I'm pretty excited about that. And we will be doing some more COVID outreach, flu outreach for this community. There seems to be a lot of sniffles going around. So everybody wash your hands. And that's it, ma'am.
Very good, Thomas. I don't think I can take any credit for, I just showed up to the interview yesterday for the behavioral health, and it was a good interview. Thank you. Okay, on to public participation. There is no correspondence that I'm aware of. And so moving on to hear citizens present. Ethan, if you would like to come up and say anything, or... Very good. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay. All right. we have no unfinished business. So moving on to new business, legislative mandate policy, I would entertain a motion.
This is Simmons. I'd like to make a motion to approve the amendments to the legislative mandate policy.
I second. This is Malden.
Have a motion by Simmons, a second by Malden to approve the amended legislative mandate policy. Is there any discussion?
So I just like to point out, so the legislative mandate, this policy is in place because there are certain requirements that come to us in order for us to utilize the grant funds that we receive from the federal government. What this policy does is it updates it for the current fiscal year. This should have actually been done probably back in April or May when the guidance was sent out. There's a lot of strike-throughs in this because essentially in our previous policy, it restated what was in the guidance. And so instead of doing that, if you look at the very bottom under the attachment, the bulletin, which is referenced, is the exact language that we've kind of taken out of the policy and we're including it by reference. What we actually do in order to comply with this is under the procedures section of it, and that has all been left the same.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Any other discussion? I guess I could pull it up, but this is supposed to be reviewed. You said the earlier part of the year, is that March then? I see effective date starting in March, and then we revised it last year in June. So I am assuming in that part of the year.
So this is scheduled for review in April.
Okay.
However, it depends on when the guidance is actually published. And so in April, the planning committee will have this on their docket. And at that point, they can look to see whether the new guidance has been published yet. And if not, they can, you know, pass it on till the next month until the guidance has been issued.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right, any more discussion? Okay. Are there any opposed to the motion? Okay, hearing none, motion passes. Moving on to peer review policy, which has been amended.
Mrs. Simmons, like to make a motion to approve the amendments to the peer review policy.
I second. Okay, we have a motion by Simmons, a second by Malden to approve the peer review policy, which has been amended. Any discussion?
So this has been reviewed by the medical advisor. The amendments to the policy are based on his recommendations. And just to clarify, the first page is the actual policy. The document following that, we're not approving those amendments to, but the changes have been issued there for everybody's education as to how the process will be changed on the kind of the day-to-day practice of it.
I am, grateful to see Dr. Rosenfeld's comments on this. And I think that's, great. Any more discussion? All right, hearing none, are there any opposed? All right, hearing none, motion passes. Moving on to quality improvement policy, which has been amended.
Simmons, like to make a motion to approve the amendments to the quality improvement policy.
I second. All right, we have a motion by Simmons, second by Malden, to approve the amended quality improvement policy. Is there any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, are there any opposed? All right, none opposed. Motion passes. All right, moving on to board teleconferencing policy, which has amendments as well.
Simmons, make a motion to approve the amendments to the board teleconferencing policy.
I second.
Okay, motion by Simmons, second by Malden to approve the amendments to the board teleconferencing policy. Is there any discussion?
So the main thing,
go ahead, Jeremy.
The main changes were taking it from a bulleted to a numbered, so it's easier to reference. And then we discussed at the planning committee what to do about those in excess of three people that need to be calling in for a meeting and how to address that. It's my understanding that Lisa has had a conversation with the borough clerk that may require additional amendments or changes to it. But in order to ensure that we've reviewed all of our policies in the current calendar year, I would ask, like to see this approved and then forwarded to the planning committee to address any further changes in the upcoming calendar year.
I read through this tonight, and I also read through the assembly code for teleconferencing, and what we have here pretty closely mirrors what the assembly follows. The only thing that I would like to see changed, and maybe not this go around, but in the near future, is the adding a part about the executive session and a member who is teleconferencing in could participate by use of a private telephone or a private mobile phone, but not using the municipal teleconference line. That's what it says in the assembly code. And I think that this would help alleviate any chances that an executive session might potentially be accidentally recorded.
So that's in place of a Zoom call then?
Yes.
You think that, okay.
Just for the executive sessions.
Okay. Okay.
I guess we could request that language from the, or we could get that language from the assembly and review that.
Okay. Any more discussion? I'm hearing that we'll plan on not amending the policy anymore tonight, but do request. And I agree with that. I think we should send it back to planning committee to take another look and so have that on the table next month and look at it again next board meeting. I'll move to... Katie, did you have anything?
Nope. I wrote it down to put that on the agenda for the planning committee.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you. Are there any opposed to approving the amended board teleconferencing policy? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay. And moving out onto the executive director search topic. I guess a little explanation on the files in our Dropbox folder. So we have the 10/13/22 Coors email, and also it looks like it's the bottom or next to bottom file under 8E regarding, it's dated 10/13/22 at the very end of its name. These two documents you've seen before at the work session, the 12/15/22 ED search email from Steve Hartz is new, as well as the 12/21/22 proposal. Let's see. Yeah, maybe Jeremy and I put the same file on here. Or let's see, one of them's an email, and it looks like the other one is the actual proposal. So I did reach out to Steve Hartz after our work session, and that is the first correspondence I got from Steve after that conversation is the 12/14, December 14th email from him, and where he talks about being able to reduce the interim placement fee. And then this newer proposal outlines those specs, and in a follow-up conversation, we would need to retain Coors for the permanent search, executive director permanent search, first off, and that would start as soon as the contract is prepared, to get these other benefits of reduction of Thomas's placement fee. So I will leave it at that if you guys have more questions.
Just a clarification.
Yep.
So there are two contracts in the Dropbox. One is entitled Coors Executive Search with a date of 10/13/22. That is the same contract that was presented at the work session. The final document, 8E Coors Executive Search with a date of 12/21/22. It's my understanding that is the one updated with the terms from the email from Steve. Is that correct, Lisa?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, if you scroll down on that proposal to 1A, he outlines it. I think in a better understandable way.
So based on our discussion from the work session, it's my understanding that there were two items that we had discussed, one of which was increasing the advertised rate of pay for the executive director position, and the second was a process for essentially advertising or recruiting for that position. I would make a motion to increase the advertised rate of pay for the executive director position to be a range from $175,000 to $215,000 per year. I believe that's the numbers that we came to. And if anybody's talking, I can't hear them.
So we are looking for a second on that motion.
So, Jeremy, you want to go 175 to 215, is that correct? In that range?
Yes.
Okay.
So I took a look at the spreadsheet provided to us by Thomas, and I see that including benefits, PERS, et cetera, we could go up to 235 and still stay within the budgeted amount. Now that's strictly pay. It's not including like if we had any performance benefits or performance what's the word I'm looking for?
Incentives,
yeah. So that if we would want to provide that, and I would want to check, I think, too, with a finance department to see if that's a possibility since we are federally funded. But I guess capping it at 215 seems a little low.
Just for point of order, that there's a motion on the floor. It can die without a second, or it can be seconded and amended for a higher rate after discussion.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Simmons, a second by Malden to increase the advertised rate of pay for the clinic executive director search to $175,000, the range to $175,000 to $215,000. Discussion.
This seems kind of low to me. I don't know what the right dollar figure is, but it seems to me that we should go more along the lines of 200 to 225 or 230.
I think leaving a pretty good range or a large range is a good idea. Like currently, the range is 90 to 140,000. So we have a $50,000 range there, I think.
So we go 175 to 225.
Yeah, we could possibly do that. Mm-hmm.
Leah, you can make that as a motion to amend.
I make a motion that we amend the current motion to go to increase the pay to into the range of 175 to 225.
Simmons will second.
Okay, we have a motion by Malden, second by Simmons to amend the previous motion of rate of pay for advertised rate for the executive director search to 175 to 225,000. Discussion. Thomas, yes.
If I may, a retained search or an independent search, as we're discussing right now, they're mutually exclusive. So what I'm hearing is that we are going to do the search in-house and that we are responsible for 100% of the search.
This is not for the search. This is just for the annual rate of pay for the position.
So say that one more time for my education, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
So this would be the annual rate of pay for the position. So whether the search is done in-house or externally, that's the amount that they're saying that this position is worth for applicants.
Thank you, sir, for the education.
Okay. Is determining this rate of pay, say if we did go with Coors, is that a process that Coors would go through with us to determine? So are we limiting ourselves by setting this amount right now? Is my question.
This is merely what we're advertising it for.
Okay.
It's not determine whatever final contractual. I mean, it could be 90,000.
Uh-huh.
It could be more, like, as long as it's within our budget, this is just what we're advertising for. It just, there were two items that were discussed at the meeting from what I could hear. This was one of them. The other one was how we go about the search. I figured this was the easiest one to tackle to start off.
All right, very good.
And I didn't hear the meeting very well, so I'm going based on what I could hear.
I have a question, and I, like Jeremy, was not able to hear the work session very well, so I apologize if this was already answered, but are there advertised performance metrics that would garner this person a bonus? So are we, you know, by increasing the advertised rate of pay so much, are we limiting ourselves into, not limiting ourselves, but are we kind of cutting into our budget in terms of what they could earn based on their performance?
I guess that's a negotiation. I mean, you could say, well, you know, you could, let's say we want to hire somebody and we are comfortable with the 225 range, but we say that it's a 215 with a $10,000, you know, bonus for performance metrics. Like, that can be figured out. Like, this is just how we're advertising to get prospective applicants.
Jeremy, this is Thomas again. If it may, I think if the board chooses to engage a search firm, the search firm will meet with you, the board, to say, here's the range that we're looking for based upon the demographics, the whatever. And while there are averages out there, I think as a municipality, I think that it's frowned upon to offer bonuses and incentives from a governmental entity. So I think there's some rules that we may be talking about and voting on that may be precluded from doing here. I just don't know, but I think the if you elect to go with a search firm, they're the ones who would guide you in the salary range, what fair market value is. Then you can determine, I'm not willing to jump up that high, no, or yes, I think we can do that.
And I mean, if we decide to go with this range right now, it doesn't mean we can't amend it later. Yeah. Okay. All right, any more discussion? Kathy, could we go ahead and do a roll call on this so this will be for the amendment. The amendment to the initial motion to advertise, to increase the advertised rate of pay for the executive director search to 175 to 225,000.
Malden.
Yes.
Nannini.
Yes.
Mandeville.
Yes.
Auer.
Yes.
Simmons.
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Thank you, Kathy. So back to the original motion. Any more discussion on that? Okay, let's do a roll call, please, Kathy.
Nannini.
So this motion is basically the same. It's to increase the advertised rate of pay for the executive director search for the range to be $175,000 to $225,000. It's not much different.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mandeville.
Yes.
Malden.
Yes.
Simmons.
Yes.
Hour.
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. As Jeremy had the 2 points, discussion and on the CORE's proposals as in your Dropbox, or I would entertain any motions to discuss those.
Simmons, for the sake of discussion, like to make a motion to approve the executive search retainer agreement with CORE's dated December 21st, 2022.
I second. Okay, we have a motion by Simmons, second by Malden, to approve the executive director search proposal from CORE's dated December 21st, 2022. Discussion.
I believe that the best way to move forward is to engage with people that have experience of the marketplace for executive director candidates. I think that CORE's knows our system better than if we were to look for another sort of headhunter agency. I think we did engage with a headhunter agency with our previous interim executive director, and that did not work well. And they kind of, you know, when it didn't work out, they kind of washed their hands of us, and that was not a good process. I feel like this would be a better process. And so in general, I am in favor of moving forward with CORE's for this. I still have questions as to the timing, because I don't know I still don't know how successful we'll be getting qualified applicants to come here when the potential for a search by like purchase of the business would go through. And it may be investing a lot of money to no real benefit. So I'm not torn with the decision to move forward with CORE's. I'm torn with the time.
I echo Jeremy's sentiments. I looked up our stats from first off, I'll start off and say I think CORE's would be a fantastic firm to go with to look for a permanent executive director. They have shown their value in bringing us Thomas, and I think they've done a good job with the operational assessment and the board training. And I really appreciate their business model of it being based on relationships. And, you know, they've told me many times that we want the best for you. We're here to support. And so I appreciate their work, but I do echo Jeremy's sentiment in that I don't think jumping into this permanent executive director search is the right time. We have a decision still in front of us, a fork in the road, whether or not to go with search or not. And I looked up our stats on the executive director search that we have done in-house. So far, there's been 95 resumes reviewed. I have 6 more to review. Currently, the search is paused on Indeed because we have these decisions before us tonight. Of those 95, 11 candidates were invited for an interview, and 7 of those were interviewed. And of those 7 interviewed, 3 declined to continue, at least in part or fully, due to the possibility and the uncertainty of the search question. And so then we had 1 candidate site visit and decided not to go with that individual to hire. But I don't know how many people have not even applied because of the search question. So I think that is a reality that we need to really evaluate. And I don't think it's a good time to dive into this executive director search. Thomas is doing a good job. I think, and that is his job to be the interim in the in-between time until we come to decision on search. So the other consideration is if we do find a permanent director, we incur quite a few costs before, say, a search might come in. So if we hire this permanent director, they come in, and then, you know, who knows, 6 months or even a year down the road, search takes over. So there's a very real possibility this executive director will not have a job then. And so, you know, we would have first the Coors search fees. We would have the hiring of the executive director. We would have moving fees, relocation fees. And then if search takes over and he no longer has a job, then we also might have to pay out a severance package. We may also have to pay relocation fees for him to go back to wherever he's going. You know, these things would come out in negotiations, but I just don't feel like this is the right time to jump into a search.
I disagree. I think that we need to move forward, as we agreed, kind of deciding that we need to do what's best for the clinic, regardless of what's going to happen with search, because it's not our decision and it's out of our control. I think that, you know, there might have to be a severance package, or there might have to be something like that in the contract where you will get your full salary regardless of what happens with search. But I don't think that we can just have that search, quote unquote, search question looming over our heads, causing us to be ineffective and not take action with something that's definitely necessary for our community and for our clinic, which is finding somebody. And who knows, search might not come in and we'll be so far behind.
I have to agree with Katie. I think that we need to move forward with this. As much as we all love Thomas and having him here, we cannot expect him to put his life on hold for the next year or 2 years or however long it takes for any kind of decision to be made about search. I think we need to just proceed as if search is not even hindering us from making decisions and moving forward. This is an important decision, I understand, and I know that search will always be a part of our discussion, but I feel that we need to move forward with this and sooner rather than later.
So I think one of the reasons I think the question of search, it narrows down our pool of applicants. And I want the best pool of applicants we can get. So that's one of my reasons there.
Right. And I understand that. But I don't think that, say on the January 5th meeting, the assembly all of a sudden decides that we're going to sell the search, lock, stock, and barrel. It's not going to be an overnight thing that happens. It's going to be a long, long drawn out process. So I think that if we start and we bring this to the assembly and say, this is what we want to do, please support us. That's going to show them that we are active in trying to do what's best for the clinic and for the community, regardless of the search decision.
Yeah, I just go back to what will we tell our candidates in the interviews. There's a possibility of search. It just feels like we're giving that future employee a moving target. So,
I mean, I think that we also need to figure out a way in which we can address search if we decide to in an interview, because I don't know how necessary it is to say, you know, like, oh, by the way, search might come in and you might not have a job. I don't think that that's necessarily the most appropriate way of addressing that. But, you know, if the interview goes well, then say, you know, okay, as you're going over the contract or whatever, the next steps would be, hey, there's a stipulation in here where you're going to receive your full salary, relocation costs, whatever, should this happen. But I agree with Leah that, you know, it's not going to be an overnight thing. It could take a really long time. And to bring somebody up here, I think is a good move.
And the other thing, we're assuming that search takes over and everybody up there is going to be out on the street the next day. I do not believe that is the case from, I don't know, original paperwork that I read. Search had said that those that are hired at the clinic would have a job for at least a year, and then they would be reviewed, their performance, they would have a performance review. So I don't, you know, maybe we get an executive director in here that does a fantastic job and say search does come in and take over. Who's to say that search isn't going to say, oh, you are doing an amazing job, we want to keep you on. Just because we have search looming out there doesn't necessarily mean that if this ever happens, that person is going to be out of a job overnight.
As a working example to that, my pediatrician here in Juneau joined with search, and everybody that was employed by her clinic still has their jobs with them.
So I would point out that we have not been telling applicants that there's a potential that the clinic will be sold and they will be out of a job. They've just been told that there is a potential that there's a potential of a sale to search, and they've made their decisions on their own. It is not in our wherewithal to say what will happen if a sale occurs. We don't know whether search will retain or not retain. That would be entirely up to them. Just wanted to clarify that.
Right. I guess my point is that maybe the initial interview isn't the best time to broach this pretty serious subject.
And I guess if we move forward with the Corps proposal, the initial interview, it's not like we're posting and we're doing initial interview like we're talking about. Corps would actually be searching for somebody that would fit the position, and they would be having the discussion with them about the stat of the situation, and would try to bring to us people who are understanding of that for us to consider to begin with.
I think, good point, Jeremy. And I think that we really should move with this. And like I said, it would show the assembly that we are serious about finding an executive director. And
can I call for a vote?
Yes, I believe it's called question. Is that correct for the vote?
I call to question a vote.
Yeah, I believe it's just call the question.
Oh, call to question.
It's actually easier if Lisa just asked if there's any further discussion. If we call the question, we have to vote on whether we call the question.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Again, if there's no further discussion, we can just have the vote.
Yeah, actually, I had another thing. I want to make sure. So this proposal, as you scroll down, we are the proposal from Coors is that we are also stating and approving that we want Thomas Steiner here until a permanent executive director is found, or the successful transfer of Dalma Mora Clinic to a management company. So this is also potentially another extension to Thomas's contract, just to make sure you guys are all aware of that. Okay. Okay. Any more discussion? All right. Yeah, I would request a roll call vote. And the motion has been to approve the executive director proposal from Coors dated December 21st, 2022.
Mandeville.
No.
Malden.
Yes.
Nannini.
Yes.
Auer.
Yes.
Simmons.
Yes.
Four yeses, motion passes.
I think we need 5 for it to pass.
Roger.
Because I think it's a quorum of the board, not a quorum of those present.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. So it would be 4 yeses, 1 no, motion fails.
How is that if there's only a 7-person board right now?
It's a 9-person board. And so we would need 5.
Right. But how many empty seats do we have? Like, is that taking into account that?
I don't believe we take that into account. It's the 9 full member board, I believe. Jeremy, do you have?
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Kathy, I think, is talking to Steve right now. Burnham by text.
We have 7 members and 2 alternates. Is that correct?
No, not at this point. We have no alternates, and
Seven members.
Because we don't have anybody seated to replace Marla or Kaylin, correct?
Correct.
Oh, and Kathy, go ahead.
I have confirmed with the borough clerk that the motion would fail.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. All right. Moving on to, I guess, is there any more discussion for this executive director search? Okay. Yes, Allison.
So if the motion has failed tonight, when is it addressed again to see if we're going to move forward with it and vote again, or what now happens to it?
Go ahead.
I would ask that the same topic be brought up under our January meeting.
Okay. All right. Anything further on that? Go ahead, Leah.
So by this motion failing, this subject is not going to go before assembly approval until February's meeting. So then we are now behind in a search by a month. And yeah, so that just draws us out even further.
Not to mention a lot more money.
All right. Any more discussion? I think we should probably move on to our next topic. If not, okay. Comments and questions. Item A, roundtable. Let's start, Allison.
I'm disappointed that we are not moving forward with the Coors contract. I feel like that's a crucial amount of time that could be used better. And I'm disappointed that it just makes it look like we're not really unified as a board. And that's all I have for comments.
Leah.
I have to agree with Allison. I don't feel that, I'm extremely disappointed. I think that we need to stop making excuses with the search. I think that we need to start acting and proceeding along the lines that search is not even a question. I realize it's an important decision, but the due diligence paperwork was only started at the beginning of this month. It's a multiple page document that's going to take her an extremely long time to do. So before search can even be an issue, that needs to be done. So it's still going to be 6 months at least out before any kind of search renegotiation happens. To me, if I were an assembly member, this would, like Allison said, this says the board is not unified and we're letting the question of search hinder our performance, and we need to do better and we need to act like search is not an option.
Katie, go ahead.
I'm going to echo Leah and Allison's disappointment. And I also, you know, want to point out that ultimately search is not our call. Like Leah said, it's our job as a board is to put what's best for the clinic first. And that I believe is bringing in a permanent executive director. I think I would take it a step further to say that not only is our inability to bring this to the assembly table showing us as a, you know, not unified board, but also a semi-dysfunctional board. I mean, we all know that the clinic doesn't have the best reputation and neither does the board, and our inability to move forward with what's best for the community just kind of, you know, are they wrong? You know? I look forward to talking about this.
Okay, thank you, Katie. Jeremy.
I guess I would say that I understand the concerns that this motion did not pass, but I feel it important to point out that part of the reason it did not pass is we had two members resign, one who's the person to replace them has not been forwarded to the assembly yet, and the other one who felt that they had a conflict of interest and we've not been able to replace that. And in addition, we have two members who are not present tonight to contribute to the conversation. I understand that it's important to be united, but in the whole point of deliberative bodies is to allow for dissent and for people who don't feel that that's the right way. And unfortunately, tonight we're in a position where we are have such a small contingent present that one vote made a difference. That's why I would like to see this brought up at the next meeting. If we would like to schedule a special meeting closer to the first of the year, we can do that if we feel it should be more expedited. I think something in the first or in the second or third week of January really wouldn't make a big difference in the timeline, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of search activities happening over the Christmas and New Year's holiday. I do think we need to move forward with an executive director search, but I feel like the importance of continuing forward with like the civil discourse is important as well.
Thank you, Jeremy. Yeah, there is time, I believe, before the next assembly meeting to have another meeting. I don't know if that's, we could look at that in our section 11 here, under scheduling next meeting.
The next assembly meeting is January 5th.
Yeah. So Leah just told me next assembly meeting is January 5th. So for myself, I wanted to take a minute for kind of board training, if you will. And if you will look in your Dropbox folders and back out of the DMC meeting packets folder, one more folder up. Into DMC Board of Directors and Committees, you'll see at the top there board resources. And going into that, the top folder again is board binder. So myself and Jeremy and Allison initially too have this, put this information here into this folder. The board binder is something that we'd like to present hard copy forms of to all new board members that come on. And the board members that we have presently have this portions of this already. So I hope to have this these items printed off to supplement what you guys already have. And so also for those who don't want to tote around a, 10-pound binder, those things are here in the Dropbox. And so please read through these. Please be familiar. These documents are based on the Skagway Municipal Code Section 317 regarding our board governance. And those documents called out there are the basis for the documents in this board binder folder. So go backing out to board resources. There's a couple other folders here that are other ones that we also need to be familiar with. So if you want to take a look through that as well. Looking at our new board members, we have an individual. I understand that STC has already emailed the, and Kathy's nodding, individual that will represent STC and that is to be confirmed at the next assembly meeting. So that will be one more member there. So that puts us up to 8. And then also Ethan Jansen here, who's attended the meeting tonight. He has also just submitted his form to be a part of the board. So that puts us up to 9. So I, thank you, Ethan, and look forward to working with you. And so then we still have those 2 alternate seats that would be great to fill up. So please keep your eyes and ears open and talk with people if they would be a good fit. I will be heading out January 2nd for a big trip. My family is going off on my husband got a sabbatical grant, and so we are heading off to Tahiti first and then New Zealand for an extended period of time. I'll be back in Skagway mid-April. I'm planning to take a break January, February, and start calling back in to meetings in March. I think that's about all I have. I'll keep in touch somewhat during those 2 months, but planning on taking a break there. All right. Moving on, we do not have an executive session planned. Moving on to the scheduling the next meetings. Finance Committee, you said January 9th, yes. 6 p.m. Okay, confirmed by Leah. And then the next Planning Committee meeting, January 10th, 6 p.m. And then the last Board of, or the next Board of Directors, January 26, 2022, 7 p.m. And so I welcome discussion on planning another meeting if that's what the board desires to continue talking about the executive director search.
I agree with Jeremy in that I don't think much is going to happen over the next several weeks. So I don't think that we necessarily need to have a special meeting before the January 5th meeting, assembly meeting. After that, the next assembly meeting would be January 19th. If we wanted to, I mean, that would be the week before we meet. So, if we did want to do a special meeting, I would suggest the week of January. Well, we've got planning and finance the January 9th and 10th. So it would have.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, we could do a before planning or finance if we wanted to, but do we need to decide that right this second? Jeremy?
We would need to decide it at least a week in advance. And so if we want to do it on the 9th or 10th, we would need to decide it by the 2nd. So that would be better to just decide it now.
What about the possibility of next week?
Well, if we want to wait for our new members to be able to vote, then we would need to wait at least until the next assembly meeting for them to be seated. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be best that we have as close as we can to a full board to make the decision.
Right. And I am not 100% sure, but I think I don't know if Deb or Reba will be back into town. I don't know when they're coming back. So I would be open to a special meeting before the finance committee meeting on January 9th.
I have no objection.
Same. I think the 9th would be a great idea.
Katie?
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize I was on mute. Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. So January 9th, 6 p.m., special board meeting.
And then do we make the finance at 7?
Yes.
Okay, finance move to 7 p.m. Okay, with that, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
Motion by Malden, second by Auer to adjourn this meeting. Are there any opposed? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.